Hello to all of you who are listening to this message online. This is a little unusual because I am actually recording this in my office. We had some technical difficulties recording the actual message, so you're getting the next day version, I guess, of this message. So welcome to all of you who are listening to this on our website. I hope you enjoy. I want to start off today by talking about something that happened this summer. I came in early in the morning working. It was, about 6 o'clock or so. And I noticed a man walk by the window. Now, that's not so unusual in the summer months because we have a lot of foot traffic around the building. Some people even sleep at the entrance of our building. And so I didn't think much of it. Then I saw him pass by the window again, and I thought, well, that's curious, because that usually doesn't happen. And I tried to see where he went, but I couldn't make it out. He just disappeared. But I went back to work. Then a third time he went by my office window, and this time he was booting it. And now I got really suspicious. So I got up and looked out another window as he made his way up the street, carrying plants, handfuls of plants in both hands, heading up the street. And so I chased after him. And I grabbed my phone before I left, chased after him. And I made it, part way before he realized someone was actually chasing him. And I'm running in my dress shoes and thinking I got to take a picture of him. Well, once he realized he was being chased, he booted it hard and took off down a narrow alley between two buildings. And it was then that I stopped because I had this thought to myself. I thought, dude, because, that's how I usually start thoughts to myself. Dude, I said, what are you going to do when you catch up to him exactly? And so I stopped and turned around, headed back to the office, called the police and all that sort of thing. But we were left with holes in the ground where we used to have plants outside the building. That was all right. Now, I bring this story to you because I realize that many of you have probably experienced theft in your lifetime. I know I have. I've had things stolen out of my vehicle, out of my home, that sort of thing. And you probably have experienced the same emotions that I did. Feelings of anger, feelings of revenge or justice, feelings of vulnerability and maybe a little fear. Feelings of being violated. You know what it's like to have something stolen from you. And the thing is, many of us, when we think of theft, we think only of material things that get stolen from us. But this morning's message is about something else. It's about a theft that is taking place right now, right here, with you. Even as you listen to this, something is being stolen from you that you may not be aware of. And anxiety is that thief. And I wanted to start off with this message before we get too far into this series so that people realize what the Bible has to say about the consequences, or the cost, I should say, of anxiety. What it's costing all of us and what it's stealing from us, even when we aren't realizing it. This morning's takeaway thought is that worry is a secret thief. Worry is a secret thief. It's secret. No one knows about it. We don't think about it. It's happening right now. It's stealing from us, and we're not aware of it. Well, what does the Bible have to say about what anxiety or worry steals from us? Well, first of all, worry steals health. Worry steals health. The book of Proverbs 14:30 says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. I think it's a fair conclusion to say that an anxious heart leads to an unhealthy body. And this is exactly what is being discovered in our modern scientific eras as anxiety is being studied. We're finding that there's a direct link from anxiety to ill health. Things like difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, short-term memory loss, premature coronary artery disease, and heart attack. All of these are the result of anxiety. You take a perfectly healthy body and you mix in anxiety and you get sickness. Could it be that the thing that you are taking pills for right now, changing your diet for, going to the doctor for, the thing that's causing you pain right now is at least in part the result of worry? It's taking away your health. And I don't have to tell you about what that means for as far as restrictions on your life when you do not have a healthy body. And even if it's caused in part, it is taking away something very valuable to you. You know, whether it's quality of life or mobility or whatever it may be, worry steals health. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, we're told. So that's the first thing. It steals our health. Second thing that anxiety or worry steals is opportunity. In the same book, the book of Proverbs, in 12:25, it says, worry weighs a person down. Worry weighs a person down. And we're not told exactly what that means. It's left rather wide open. And that's probably intentional, because worry weighs us down in so many ways. One example that's coming out in recent studies is academics. In 126 studies involving 36,000 people, they found that the more prone to worry we are, the poorer our academic performance. So there was an experiment conducted where people were told to sort random objects into two groups. Very, very simple task. But the thing about this task is they were required to give a moment-by-moment assessment of what they were thinking. And they were listening for phrases such as, I won't be able to do this, or I'm just no good at this kind of test. And the more people thought along those lines, the poorer the results were in this one simple task. In a comparison group, they took a group of people with the same task, and they told them 15 minutes ahead of time, okay, start to worry, just on purpose, start to worry, start to freak yourself out. And they found that people had even less of an ability to perform the same task. They took another group and they gave them relaxation exercises 15 minutes prior to the same task. And that group had no problems performing the task. You see, worry is a mental task that detracts from the job at hand. Could you imagine that our academic success is not often based on how smart we are, but merely on our ability to manage worry? You know, we tell kids, study, work hard, and all that sort of thing, but we do not train them quite often to manage worry, which is one of the greatest factors in how well they can do at school. Worry can take away our ability to try new things or accomplish something different, and the joy that we get from that accomplishment. See, it literally weighs us down. Worry weighs us down. Christian psychologist Henry Cloud put it this way: stepping outside of your comfort zone, he said, is vitally necessary to grow as a person. Growth comes from stretching your capacities just past the limit of what you can presently accomplish. If you allow fear to rule you, you will only ever be capable of achieving things within your current limits. In other words, if you allow fear or anxiety or worry to rule your life, you will stay stuck developmentally. Imagine what that costs us. Imagine what it costs us even relationally, and how worry weighs us down. If we're worried about social interaction, if we're worried about getting together with groups of people, our social circles begin to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and we begin to experience loneliness only because of our worry, our anxiety. Do you see how literally worry weighs a person down? It is it weighs us down emotionally. It weighs us down relationally. It weighs us down in so many ways that we're not aware of. That is why anxiety is a secret thief. It's a secret thief. So it takes away, it steals our health, it steals our opportunity, and number three, it steals, worry steals spiritual vitality. Jesus tells this famous story, and some of you have probably heard this story, and some of you, this will be the first time you hear it. But Jesus tells this story about how a farmer scattered seeds on different kinds of soil. He said, we are those different kinds of soil. He said, one kind of soil is really hard. The seed doesn't even get into that soil. And the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel, it doesn't even take root. Nothing happens. He said, there's another kind of seed where the soil is really shallow and the seed sprouts up right away. But because the soil is so shallow, roots can't go down and the plant ends up withering and dying. He said another kind of seed, the soil is good and deep and it begins to grow and bear fruit, but there are thorns, there are weeds in amongst these plants, and they choke out the life of the plant so that there's no fruit. Now, if you were listening to this message for the first time, you know, being likely a farmer yourself, you'd be thinking, oh, I know what those weeds are. Those weeds must be sin. That must be sin. That must be like lying or stealing or something along that line, you know, that's choking out the fruit of that plant, right? And they're thinking, I already know where you're going with this, Jesus. I know where you're going with this, Rabbi. I've got this figured out. And then Jesus twists this whole story with these words found in Mark 4, verses 18 and 19. It said, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by, now get this, crowded out by the worries of this life. So no fruit is produced. The worries of this life. Can you imagine? It's worry, anxiety that keeps us from developing our character, the fruit. As often is called in God's word, refers to things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As we find that list in the book of Galatians, it's basically character. It's God-like character that is taken away from us because of the worries of this life. We get so caught up in the things that are going on in this world, that we don't take time to develop in our character to be like Jesus. And Jesus was very clear in this. He said, don't be fooled. This is not normal. It's not normal for a living thing to not grow. And if you want a little experiment, if you find old pictures of your house, take a look at the trees and the shrubs around your house from years ago, say 10 years ago, and you will notice how much they've grown, especially here in the island. They grow like crazy. And that's normal. It's normal to have a healthy living thing grow. And this is the point that Jesus is making, that worry can actually rob us of that growth. See, worry is a secret thief. So worry costs health. It costs us opportunities. It costs us spiritual vitality. And I bring this to you so that you're not looking at the people around you and saying, boy, I sure hope they hear this message. This message is for all of us because anxiety robs all of us. Now, we all struggle with different things, and some of us struggle with anxiety more than others, but it still costs us. Worry is a habit. Worry is a habit. It's a pattern of our thinking that we've developed over time that trades freedom for fear. And I'm going to give you a couple of solutions based on something that Jesus said. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. God wants you to have a full and abundant life. That is his goal. He wants you to know him and in knowing him, having a full and abundant life. And the solutions that I'm about to give to counter this secret thief, worry, are from the Bible, but they are aimed at people who are already following Jesus. And I know some of the people in our church, some of the people listening online, have not made that decision to follow Jesus. They have not handed their life over to Him and received His gift of salvation, of being rescued from our sin, that gift of knowing God by being rescued by Him. And so these solutions, if you haven't made that step, and I hope you do, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but I hope soon, these solutions apply to those who have already made that decision. And you can make that decision right now, even as you're listening to this. You can say, God, I give my whole life to You. You have rescued me through the cross. You have paid the price for my sin, and I want to know You. I hand my whole life over to You. If you do that, if you tell God that and you mean it, you sincerely hand your life over, then what I'm about to say is going to apply to you, and it will change your life. There are two things, and if I could sum it up as to what you can do to counter the secret thief, is to think. Worry is a pattern in our thinking, and the good news is patterns and habits can be broken. But we know that habits are not erased, they are replaced. So, and be patient with yourself. It takes time. It's taken years, maybe decades, to get to the point of where you're really good at worrying. It's going to take some time for God to empower you to change your pattern of thinking to the things I'm about to tell you, okay? So just be patient. I'm just telling you up front, don't expect this to turn around in a day. Redeveloping these habits takes some time, okay? That being said, got a little caveat there. Here's the two things, and they both involve thinking. Think about, first of all, think about your new life now. Think about your new life now. Think about what God has done in you now. And we turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, the first four verses. And it says, since, and pay attention to the tense of these terms. Since you have been raised, past tense, since you have been raised, and if you've made that decision to follow Jesus, this is true of you. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. I love that. The realities of heaven. The Bible's really clear that the fullest picture of the real world involves what you see here and now, but there's also another dimension where there's God and there's angels and there's all kinds of things that we can't see, we can't measure right now, but they are real. And in including them in our thinking, we have a greater picture of reality. It says, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits, present tense, sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. This is reality. And if the Bible is true, just consider this. If the Bible is true, then a lot of the people that we know and love are not living in reality because they are not including in their thinking the realities of heaven, the realities of God. And he continues on. Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He says next, and here's the key word, think. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Think. Take the time to contemplate them, to meditate on them. Think about the current realities of heaven, what's actually going on there, that we have been raised to a new life with Christ. We are with Him right now in the spiritual realm. He continues on, for you died, past tense, to this life, and your real life, there it is, that reality, your real life is, right now, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, everything about our life is in Christ, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. Paul's point is, everything you are wanting right now, everything you are needing in your heart of hearts, that safety, that belonging, the security, the acceptance, everything you are looking for is yours right now. You have everything. Think about that, he said. take time in your day, which is why I am so adamant about starting your day with God. If you just start your day thinking about the realities of heaven right now, you are seated with Christ in heaven. You have everything you need, all the belonging, all the acceptance, all the security, all the safety you need right now, today. That is a reality. And when you think about that, your anxiety begins to drop. And you begin to feel less pressure, less push regarding the things you see, the life here and now. Just this plane, just this world. You can see past that to a fullness of reality. When you see the fullness of reality, you begin to experience peace, but I'm not done. Because number two is still think, but think about your new life to come. Think about what is coming next, what is yours. And I turn to the book of Philippians where Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He describes those who do not have this reality, who do not know Jesus. And it's sad. He says, "For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things." That sounds like our world. And then here's the key in Philippians 3, 18 and 19. He says, "And they think only about this life here on earth." How many people do we know whose thoughts are only about this life? I talk to so many people who do not know Jesus, and when I bring up the subject of God, of salvation, it's like they haven't even thought about it. They haven't even thought about their mortality. Maybe they're afraid to, I don't know, but they think only about this life here on earth. But when you think about your new life to come, what is guaranteed to you, that life with God, that is sure, that is our great hope, it fills you with tremendous peace. It puts all things in perspective. And you realize that the stakes for what's going on here and now are not that high. And it creates a sense that you cannot lose. You cannot lose. When you think about what is yours here and now, it tells you you have everything. When you think about the new life to come, it tells you you can't lose. And when you have everything and you can't lose, you begin to experience peace. Incredible, incredible peace. That full and abundant life that Jesus promised is yours. But it requires a pattern of thinking that you work on daily. Thinking about your life, your new life now, and your new life to come. And it takes carving out time in your day to meditate on these things, to soak them up, to relish them. See, worry is a secret thief, but it doesn't have to be. Thinking about your new life now and your life to come is your security system. Your security system from the worry thief. And again, be patient with yourself. It's not going to change overnight. You know, when I was a public school trustee, I used to have the privilege of listening to, going to a lot of grads. And in these grads were all kinds of speeches. The MLA would speak. The mayor would speak. The principal would speak. There might be a designated teacher that would speak. The class valedictorian, would speak. And all of them basically gave the same speech. It was, you can do anything. You can achieve it all. The world is your oyster. You can, you know, go out and do whatever you want because you're the future and all that good stuff. And you know what? It's baloney. It's total baloney because no one ever talks about the secret thief and how worry will rob those kids of their health, of their opportunities, and their very character, their spiritual vitality will get sucked away by worry. That's why this topic, that's why this series is so important, that we dive in and we look at that gift, as we talked about last week, that gift of peace that Jesus promised, and how we can open up that gift and thoroughly enjoy that gift that Jesus has given to those who follow him. And how do you know that it's working? How do you know that the secret thief is getting less and less powerful in your life? It's very simple. You will know the secret thief is losing power when you begin to do things that used to scare you. It's just that simple. The things that you've been putting off, the things that you've been avoiding, the things that you know you should do but you're afraid to do. Maybe it's a difficult conversation. Maybe it's changing jobs. Maybe it's moving. Maybe it's taking more of your day to spend with God. Maybe it's giving more of your resources away. Whatever it is that you've been afraid of to this point, that fear will begin to fall away, because you're thinking about your new life now and your new life to come. Purposefully thinking about the unseen helps put what is seen in perspective, and the result is peace. If you're listening to this, my hope for you is that you will begin to trade your fear for freedom, trade your fear for peace, that you will begin to have a healthier body, more opportunities, and that your Christ-likeness, your character, the fruit of what God is trying to change in your life by his grace, will begin to take shape. And it is by his grace that we can change this pattern of thinking. It is his undeserved kindness. You can't do this on your own. I'm telling you, please, don't go out and try to change your thinking on your own. That's not how it works. It is a dependence on God daily to do this, to have our minds reshaped. It is a habit that will need to be formed, a habit that thinks about what our new life now and our new life to come. That peaceful habit can only come by God's grace. So cry out for his grace. Just say, God, I am a worrier. I have given the secret thief too much power in my life. Please help me to think about my new life now and my new life to come, so that I will experience the peace that you promised to me. That is my hope for all of you listening, and for all of us listening in this series, that we will experience God's peace.